Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three of this Thursday edition of the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid, live in studio together for one more hour. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We set the stage for night number two of the 2024 NBA draft. The best prospects still available, the rookie of the year odds from night number one of the NBA draft, and of course, the Bronny James conversation. Are you ready?
I'm right. By the way, a lot of room for exercises now at this point. We could get it going here. Hour number three, getting it loose. I'm ready for this. And again,
things are running smooth today, and that will be the case in our third and final hour. Outside of the NBA draft, plenty of baseball breakdowns from DRS to get you set for this Thursday slate around MLB as well. But first, a debate.
Yeah.
Bronny James, where will he go tonight in the 2024 NBA draft? Might it be Los Angeles? We wanted to hear from you. It's time for Fade the Public. Smooth, Friezo. Yeah. Our producer pulling double duty today. Joe Friezo also on the sticks.
No, wait, what was the big deal with that, though?
He said he wasn't great at stinger animation.
We have it every day, though. Who does it, then?
Matt Mullallem, who does a great job and has the day off. Wow. We're here together in studio in New Jersey.
Friezo struggling back there. Tough scene.
That's not what I said, all accounts. Come on, man. His mom watches every day.
Hey, Mom. What's up?
Yours or Friezo's?
To everybody's mom. Come on now. Hello.
Here we are into hour number three. The question at Sports Grid on Twitter. Will the Lakers draft Bronny James in the second round of the 2024 NBA draft? Simply put, yes or no? More than 200 votes. Yeah. The people want to have the Bronny James conversation, and about 58% say yes. Bronny James will be drafted by the L.A. Lakers tonight in round number two. Which way did you vote, D.R.?
I voted yes, and I also bet that way, too, to put a little bit of money behind. Now, here's the issue I'm having with this, right? Because you're just trying to forget about if you have insider information or not. Let's just say most people don't at this point. We could say definitively, hey, look, I talked to Rich Paul last night. It's Lakers or nobody. You can just lay the house on it. It was at that price, plus 100 last week, before we started to see his actual draft status on the move from 40.5 up to that mid-50s. Now that we see that here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, we'll see if that bet comes back today. Yeah. But having said that, it's one of those bets where I didn't put a lot of money down, but if it does turn, I'm like, why didn't I bet more money on that? Do you know what I mean? But like, just feels like all you've been hearing all along is it's going to be the Lakers. He's not a sought-after player in the draft. You want to keep your top player, maybe the top player in the NBA, happy in LeBron James. So you're going to draft him. It doesn't matter where it is. It's just going to the Lakers. But then again, it's one of those going like, well, that's why I only put about maybe, let's just say, $25 to $50 on that wager, because it turns out that the Orlando Magic trade up in the one to get him, and all behind the scenes, Bronny goes, yeah, you know what? It was always, it didn't have to be the Lakers. I just wanted to go to a team where their fit is going to fit my needs.
Yeah.
But I just feel it has to be Los Angeles, because the one thing we talk about with L.A. too, it is star power. Say what you want. This is a draft where a player, some people are saying, shouldn't be drafted, but is getting the majority of the talk time because of how big a star he is. And also, you know, opening night, if Bronny James is on the Lakers, even if he doesn't play, it's a great talking point that every station, including ours, is going to talk about.
And let's talk about those talking points. The first two odds that you could bet in the NBA draft, who would be the number one overall pick, and where would Bronny James go? And the Lakers were the favorites even then. right before the draft started last night. Still no updated second-round prices on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We hope those come out in the next few hours. Bronny James was favored to go to L.A., not even at even money, at minus 165. His draft position prop, the over-under, 54.5, and the over has the juice at minus 158. Conveniently, betting the over would lead you to the Lakers, who draft 55th overall. The Suns do have the second-best price to draft Bronny James. They have the 56th pick tonight after trading yesterday as Denver moved up to 22nd to get Daron Holmes, and Phoenix moved back at 28th. They drafted Ryan Dunn and now have pick number 56 tonight. You see the numbers. It's been a conversation piece all along. People wondering about the prospect of Bronny James. Could the player compete on this next level in the association after only 25 games and, frankly, a disappointing season at USC? Of course, he dealt with the medical condition and the cardiac arrest that happened during summer workouts a year ago as he was getting ready for his freshman campaign at Southern Cal. So only 25 games in his freshman season, just averaging shy of 5 points per game. But let me say this. College stats and production is not the only reason a player is selected in the NBA draft. A.J. Johnson, who went 23rd last night, who was or is from the States, originally committed to Texas, played in the NBL, in the Australian Professional Basketball League, averaged less than 8 minutes per game in only 26 games, and averaged 2 points per game. Look at those stats. And that guy was a first-round pick. Yep. This is not slander of A.J. Johnson. Of course, the Milwaukee Bucks feel confident in the projection and the development of this prospect. That's where Bronny James can have the same sort of consideration if we get past the name.
And now, also, we're taking a look at, and these are random circumstances. Just say, not random circumstances. Rich Paul's put this out here. Usually when you get a second-round pick, it's easier for the NBA team to go, okay, we're going to pick a guy with some upside here. We need to develop him.
Right.
So he's going to get a two-way contract, which means if he comes into training camp in September, lights it up, he's going to be on the basketball team on under an NBA contract. But he can also be sent down to the G League, which means he can get his playing time in and feel much more comfortable and work on his game. Rich Paul's put it out there that, yeah, if he's going in the second round, it doesn't matter. He's getting a one-way contract to the NBA, which puts a lot of teams' business saying, well, we probably could have taken him here and see if it would have worked out, but we don't have room on our roster to guarantee an NBA contract, or maybe even like a team like a Knicks. You're looking to shed some of that weight. Hey, we'll take Bronny James in round number two. Oh, no, he's going to be on the NBA roster. He's going to count right away against the salary cap. That's what I'm interested to see, where that path, it just feels like the Lakers would be willing to say, yes, 15th man on the roster, guaranteed NBA contract, make it happen here, is going to be with his father. That's where all signs are pointing for me.
Or somebody like the Knicks, perhaps, or picks 31 through 54 causes a little chaos on night number two of the NBA draft, and they select Bronny James, either, as JY put it, to force the hand of LeBron James and the LA Lakers, or maybe they believe in Bronny James. And LeBron has said all along, in the last 5 years, how he wanted to keep playing into his 40th year on this earth to have the chance, just the opportunity, to play in an NBA game alongside his son, Bronny James. If he doesn't go to L.A., with LeBron being a free agent this offseason, but all accounts, 99.9999%, he is going to re-sign in Los Angeles, would he consider the idea of going somewhere else? And then the prospect of Bronny James is only amplified. But again, as the public is saying, nearly 58%, and as the odds makers would agree with a minus 165 number, more than likely, Bronny James is going to Los Angeles. The Lakers have the number 55 overall pick. The draft position prop was 54 and a hook for Bronny James at close yesterday. That is what I believe will happen. And DRS, what is so fascinating about now night number two, again, for the first time since 1989, we have a two-night event for the NBA draft. We have attention to be paid to this second round.
Yeah.
And that's not a shot at any of the prospects that are still on the board, like a Kyle Filipowski, a Tyler Kolek, or anybody else. But Bronny James was the story, or one of the main stories of the NBA draft, even before the opening round, and he still is available entering round number two.
Yeah, and also, with something you equate it, like, say, to the NFL draft, where they put, like, the stars up there, they get their own little montage. Bronny James has a montage on ESPN, and we knew he probably wasn't going in round number one. Here's the interesting part about the business of it. Let's just say, and I use this team just for fictitious terms, Orlando Magic draft them in the second round, and they go, okay, we're not going to give you a one-way deal. We're going to call your bluff. Well, like Bronny James, most players come in like, look, I need the paycheck. I got to get my career started.
Yeah.
Bronny James plays or doesn't play in the NBA, he is going to be fine, set for life. It's no big deal. So that would add intrigue. And also, I don't even know where the options go. If it's like, he's only getting a one-way deal. No, we're giving him a two-way. Does he go back in the draft next year? Does he play overseas at that point? There's so many fun angles to take a look at. But you know what the funnest angle is? Making some money here and having them just drafted to the Lakers. So we all can cash in some tickets.
It was an even money price earlier this week. It was at close last night before the opening round, minus 165. Will we see that updated number and price before round number two? That remains to be seen. But the odds elsewhere around the association have updated. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Picks 31 through 58. That's round number two of the 2024 NBA draft. We will continue our Sports Grid NBA draft special coverage live right here later this afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern time, is when round number two is set to get underway from New York City. Kevin Walsh, James Young, Scott Farrell, and Mike Carver all have a hand in the coverage. We get you set for the second round. Bronny James is going to be the main talking point. And I do want to finish with one thing about Bronny James and just kind of round number two in general. You've heard me say this a few times. 1989, that's when the NBA draft condensed to only two rounds. So in the 35 years since, we have only seen 21 total second-round selections make an NBA All-Star team. Most notably in the last decade, guys like Nikola Jokic, who was the 41st overall pick back in 2016, or Draymond Green for the Golden State Warriors. Some second-round selections that you well know around the association. All of that to say, not many of the picks here in the second round will amount to being an all-pro, an all-star, somebody who makes a notable contribution to their organization. And that's okay, which also means the RS. Mm-hmm. If the Lakers do use their second-round pick on Bronny James, it's not a disaster missing out on draft capital.
No, and that's exactly the point here. I think you could feel even better about Bronny James to the Lakers because you got somebody that you probably did not think was available in round number one, an immediate impact player, which can soften the blow to say, okay, we can take a flyer in the second round. Even though we always thought Bronny James was probably going in the second round, there's no pressure to say, ooh, we whiffed, or I'm not going to opt into my contract unless my son is a first-round draft pick here, like some ungodly pressure
right.
that LeBron James might have put on the front office for the Los Angeles Lakers. So I think it's a perfect scenario for Bronny James in the second round here to go towards the Lakers. But if we are looking at some of those players that are available, I want to ask you this question because one guy that popped up continuously on most of these mock drafts was Tyler Kolek. Was there a reason why he's slipping?
I don't know.
He was a wonderful college basketball player that you figure plug and play in the NBA.
So that's part of it. And let me just correct myself, by the way, before we dive into Nikola Jokic, drafted in 2014, not in 2016, famously or infamously during a Taco Bell commercial. That will probably not be the case tonight because it is a two-night event now in the NBA draft. Tyler Kolek, the 2023 Big East Player of the Year, one of the best point guards in the country. So influential to everything Marquette wanted to do the last few seasons that, of course, a season ago, not this previous season, but now 2 years, 2022-23, ended in a Big East regular season title and tournament title under Shaka Smart. But they were still a two seed this past year in the NCAA tournament as well. I really thought, Donnie, and there were some other spots last night for our draft special that featured odds of Kolek being the favorite to be the number 23 overall pick, which is what the Bucks had. Maybe it was just the Milwaukee connection that made it seem like a natural transition for Kolek, but also the idea that Milwaukee needs backcourt depth and somebody to place behind Damian Lillard as that backup point guard. Instead, they go for A.J. Johnson, the development project out of Australia. I'm not entirely sure why he has slid, but many considered him on the cusp of the first round. If he's drafted in the first five picks tonight, I wouldn't consider it the greatest upset or the greatest slide we've ever seen in the NBA draft.
Yeah, no, and I just wanted to make that, because this was one of the guys that with Marquette throughout the regular season, yeah. A lot of people are saying, like, you know what, I might spend some money here on a futures wager on Marquette to win. And then even more intriguing when he got injured was, what are we going to get back? Because on a day-to-day basis, when we were breaking down the Big East tournament, it was like, ooh, I wonder if he's going to come back. And even John Ralstein coming on the program, you know what, I think they're going to hold him out to the big dance.
Yeah.
And then you were still trying to say, well, if I get regular season healthy Kolick, I might be getting a discount on that. So he's one of those players that can certainly drive, they can score, can distribute, and also obviously shoot it. I thought it was interesting.
The Bucks back on the clock with the third pick of this second round, 33rd overall. Maybe yeah. they would go to the veteran after yeah. taking the project in A.J. Johnson if he still is available. The biggest slide out of the opening round, that was Kyle Filipowski, who was in the green room last night in Brooklyn. Never easy to be in the green room when you're expected.
Where was he, though? In the not in the green room, but where was he projected to go? Like, what were most
so other sportsbook yeah. operators, we love the FanDuel Sportsbook, yeah. but other sportsbook operators had his draft position prop at 23.5.
Wow.
And the over
okay.
had the juice. So the over had the juice, yeah. so 24 or later, but not into the second
yeah.
round. Probably late there in the first round. And in fact, the New York Knicks, who were originally slated to draft 24th and 25th, Flip was the favorite to go in both of those spots. Not a minus money favorite,
yeah.
around a plus 450 or 5-1 number. But there was some thought, even conversation here with Kev and JY, that that would make sense for the Knicks. Of course, financial restrictions not allowing the New York Knicks to do that. So Kyle Filipowski, uncharacteristically, still on the board. Again, I think he hears his name called early tonight. Probably pick 31, maybe pick 32. The Raptors first up, followed by the Jazz.
Yeah, no, it should be interesting to see where he goes at that point. But it's always, you know, there's risers and there's fallers in every
yeah,
draft. And certainly it's a tough scene because you're sort of graded on, you know, where am I going to go and what you can tell your friends about. But also it's that guaranteed contract, man. You slip into the second round. Yes, you could still get a two-way contract or you can get that one-way deal. But now you take a look at also, you know what you love, Ben? The chip on the shoulder, guys.
Yeah.
Coming in to say, you know what, I thought I was better than where I was drafted. Let me prove it to my new organization, and we'll find out if that matters here with him as well.
So another guy that was in BK last night, Johnny Furphy, who if you look at him, maybe doesn't look like an NBA
yeah.
player just yet, but he's young, out of Australia, played 1 year in Lawrence at KU, became a national sensation on the first Saturday of February in the top five tilt inside the fog against Houston. He put up 17 points, hit three triples. He is an undeveloped project, but a great shooter and does have that upside here in round number two. A couple of other college names that you might have heard, Adembona, the big man out of UCLA. Bobby Clintman, who has yeah. an interesting draft prospect career, played two seasons ago collegiately here in the States at Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. Last year, the native of Sweden goes to the NBL, the professional league in Australia. He will probably hear his name called in the first five of the second round tonight.
Yeah, no, a lot of these dreams are going to be made tonight. And also, it's going to be a topsy-turvy second round because it's not as if there's a ton of players and name players that are left over from that first round that you have to jump on. But also, I find it interesting, which we get a kick out of in the NFL, Ben. Round number one, okay, it's a big sprint. Same way it used to be in the NBA where all the numbers, first round and second round,
yeah.
were doing one night. Now you have that chance to take a look at that board. How many trades are we going to get today where you have
sure.
some time to digress and say, you know what, let's make a move for this kid.
In only 28 picks tonight, not the full 30 like we saw last night, as the Sixers and the Suns have both forfeited a second round selection. So pick 58. The storylines tonight, the best prospects still out there, and where does Bronny James land? How about the Rookie of the Year on? They're out now. We'll talk about them next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The odds are now out for NBA Rookie of the Year in the 2024-25 NBA season. So DRS, it was a battle for who would be
yeah.
number one overall, who would be selected first. Zachary Risacher goes to Atlanta in front of his fellow countrymen, also out of France, Alex Sarr, who was the favorite at one point in the expected number one overall pick, as the Hawks earned that during the NBA draft lottery, and of course, the ping pong balls bouncing in their favor. But Sar never worked out in Atlanta. Reza Shea became the hefty favorite to go first overall. He did. Sar falls to 2, and he goes to Washington. But just because Reza Shea went first does not mean that everybody believed that Reza Shea was a better prospect or would have a better NBA career than Alex Sar. And we see that reflected ever so slightly in the odds to win Rookie of the Year. Sar opens as the favorite on FanDuel at plus 450, a dollar and a half in front of Reza Shea, who has the second best number at 6-1.
Yeah, here's the interesting part about it this year, which again, we didn't get last year. We thought it would be a runaway here for the Rookie of the Year, and rightfully so, in Victor Wembanyama. Started out a little bit slow, if that can be kind there, and was tremendous the rest of the way. But also, you had that sort of outside influence for a player in Chet Holmgren for OKC, who didn't play the year before but then stepped in. So it was quite fun to see two of those guys go toe-to-toe. This seems, Ben, so wide open at this point of who's going to win it.
Sure.
Now, granted, in order to win a Rookie of the Year, what do you need? Opportunities. It can't be like if you say to yourself, well, I think Kinect's going to be the steal of the draft. Well, is Kinect going to be a starter in the Lakers lineup averaging 19 points a game?
Right.
Probably not. So it's hard to win Rookie of the Year from that facet when you picture some of these guys on worse basketball teams just looking to make their way around. So I take a look at Sar and Reza Shea. Obviously, those two guys are the favorite, but you don't put out guys like Castle, even Bouzelis. The problem is, I'm not too familiar with these guys because the last couple of years, you just have that bona fide number one, the superstar coming into the league. As long as they're healthy and playing 65 games, they get it. This year, boy, oh boy, and the odds reflected here. There's a lot of players between 20-1 or less with a legitimate chance to win this. Should be a fun year.
Historically, a couple of things to note. Even before the 2023 NBA draft, Victor Wembanyama was close to a $2 favorite to win NBA Rookie of the Year. Those prices shifted just a little bit throughout the NBA campaign, jostling with Chet Holmgren of the OKC Thunder, but ultimately Wembanyama with a great home stretch of his rookie campaign, despite the Spurs struggling and only winning 22 games, won NBA Rookie of the Year and became a very heavy odds-on favorite once again to win that hardware. Even before the NFL draft, Caleb Williams was the favorite to be the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year before he was drafted first overall. These odds were not out until the end of last night's opening round. In DRS, you mentioned not knowing some of these names, so it's hard to project really how they are going to perform in the association in their first year. This was the second consecutive season a non-U.S. college basketball player was drafted first overall. Victor Wembanyama last year, Zachary Reza Shea this season. The first time that's ever happened in NBA draft history. Two consecutive years of a non-U.S. college basketball player from 2010 to 2022. It was a U.S. college freshman after completing his first year in collegiate hoops, making his way to the NBA. But I do still believe there is some value out there. Steph Castle, could we see back-to-back San Antonio Spurs win NBA Rookie of the Year? He went fourth last night at plus 750. Matis Bouzelis on a slide down to Chicago at the 11th overall pick, but the fourth best price at plus 850. I think Reed Sheppard has value at 10-1. And listen, maybe I have a soft spot in my heart for the guys that battle down in the post, the big men. 12-1 on Zach Edey, ninth overall selection to the Grizzlies, and the guy that I think is the best pro prospect out of this draft class who will have the best NBA career, Donovan Clingan, 20-1, Portland, seventh overall pick. I think there's a lot of value on the big man from UConn.
I mean, shout out to the handicappers on this one, that if you're doing deep dives on these players and know exactly what you're talking about, because for me, I'm just looking at names here and what I've seen out of college basketball and saying, oh, I guess Sar and Reza Shea are going to be very good. But if you know, you might look, we're only taking a look at some of those guys at 20-1. There might be other guys in this class that really step up that you can get a great number on, because as I said, typically it's paint by numbers in Rookie of the Year. It's going to be a guy that's drafted number one, number two overall because they were superstars in the international game like Victor Wembanyama, or just a great player in the NCAA game at this point. So if you are a true handicapper, you probably absolutely love this Rookie of the Year setting.
We'll see what Rob Dillingham's role is in Minneapolis. He's also 20-1. He can put up a lot of points. Cody Williams, 10th overall pick to Utah, 20-1. Ron Holland, who went fifth overall to Detroit, a young roster there, 20-1. Isaiah Collier does not have a spot on the FanDuel Sportsbook odds for the NBA Rookie of the Year award, but in other areas, I know our guy OK Dubs thinks he was a tremendous pick at 29th overall. MLB breakdowns up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a 9-game slate on this Thursday around Major League Baseball. So we're going to break down every single game in this final half hour with Donnie Wrightside here on this Thursday on the Early Line. Game number one that we look at today in Kansas City, an American League Central divisional duel. The Guardians had their longest active win streak of 7 games come to a close yesterday on the road in Baltimore. Our team, the Kansas City Royals, struggling ever so slightly as of late, but a victory yesterday over the Marlins in a short 2-game set to split that series. That's what you should do, beat the third worst team in all of MLB. Today, at home, inside Kauffman, the Royals an ever so slight underdog, minus 104, the Guardians minus 112, that updated money line price, but DRS, it's a virtual pick 'em. Who wins today in Kansas City?
By the way, take a look at this lineup here today, and I'm just going to go over the first 5 guys for reason here for those Kansas City Royals. Garcia, Witt, Pasquantino, Perez, Michael Massey, one of those names that we haven't heard in quite
wild,
some time, and key that he's a left-handed hitter. Now, let's set up this here for Ben Lively. Over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball, 81 at-bats he's faced here. A 149 ISO and a 301 weighted on base percentage, and to lefties, which is usually where we like to play here against right-handed pitchers, he's actually been very good on the season and also over the past 30 days. A little bit of trouble here from the right side, but it's not an effective enough number for I to say, you know what, it's an automatic victory or play on even a team total or an RBI here for those Kansas City Royals. Temperatures here, 79 degrees, wind blowing out to right field at about 6 to 7 miles an hour. That helps. But if you're taking a look at Lively's statistics, and not a great pitcher by nature overall throughout his career, but if you are just looking and say, forget about the pitcher itself, it's just a right-hand guy, you look at that lineup here for the Kansas City Royals. Witt, positive numbers. Pasquantino, positive numbers. Salvador Perez, a 181 ISO power number over his last 30 days against right-handed pitching. Massey, again, just coming back to that lineup here, only 5 at-bats, but still performing well. 200 ISO, 432 weighted on base percentage. Melendez and Renfro also above. So I like the way that that lineup is projecting. Having said that, we know the better overall team here on the card today is the Cleveland Guardians. Waka's on the mound. Take a look, Ben, at his last 30 days. Only 40 batters he's faced, so not a huge sample size, but look at this, a 105 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 252. We should get runs because both of these pitchers could be hit, but I got to tell you right now, just the way it sets up, I think the better team is the Guardians. That's the way I would lean today in this one.
Vinny Pasquantino, our guy, the Pasquad.
He is.
Plus 110 to record an RBI, tied for the third shortest number to do that today with Jose Ramirez, who has 72 this year, second most in all of Major League Baseball, only behind the 77 ribbies of Aaron Judge. The Guardians still playing great baseball right now. When you look at the American League Central, Cleveland 8-game lead over Minnesota, 9-game advantage over the Royals. KC still 6 games above 500. But I bet the over of their win total of 73.5 this offseason, thanks to the great guidance of our MLB insider, Craig Mish. We miss him on daily basis today. Craig! Anyway, for Kansas City, they were 34-19 on May 25th, capping off an 8-game win streak on that day with yet another victory. I thought, DRS, we might go over 73.5 by the end of August. I was like, this deal is already done. From that point, they are 10-19. So it hasn't been easy or smooth sailing for this Royals team, but I would still say at this point, performing above expectation in the 2024 MLB campaign. The Yankees, above expectation to start, but on a slight slide. They start a 4-game set this weekend in Toronto today, up in the 6th. The Yanks have dropped 9 of their last 12. They were just swept in the Subway Series by the New York Mets. The Blue Jays and the Red Sox played an inning and a half yesterday at Fenway. Bad weather caused that game to be suspended. They'll resume it back at the end of August. Today, though, the Yanks, as they were in both games in Queens, a road favorite, minus 138 with Carlos Rodon on the bump.
I got to tell you, sometimes, Ben, you got to take a leap of faith on what you're actually looking at. And hear me out on this today. You're taking a look at two pitchers that are certainly susceptible and might be able to get banged around quite a bit. Because if I'm looking at this, we'll start with Carlos Rodon. Left-handed pitcher, 117 batters he's faced over the past 30 days. Take a look at his ISO power numbers combined. combined. 229 and 346 for his weighted on base percentage. That's not good enough. He's a left-handed pitcher. You're supposed to dominate lefties. He hasn't been doing that. And also, equal opportunity right-handers, Ben, also getting the best of them. Here's the issue why I say taking that leap of faith. Sometimes you just have to fade pitchers. And a lot of times I'll tell you, you still need a good at-bat or a good lineup here to sort of get after those bad pitchers. And you might be leaning on that because looking at that Toronto lineup today, Ben, against lefties for the past 30 days, they've been absolutely abysmal. Yeah. You take a look at some of those ISO power numbers. Bo Bichette, 067. Turner, 0. Springer, 0. Jansen, 0. Schneider, 0. Kiner Falefa, 0. Kiermaier, 0. Like, it's almost hard to even do that here. Yeah. And we're not talking about 3-4 at-bats. Most of those guys, 15 to 20 at-bats over the past 30 days. But they still should be able to hit Carlos Rodon, who has been struggling. Now, let's flip it over to the other side and take a look at Jose Berríos, one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball. Pedigree-wise, he hasn't really shown up this year, particularly, Ben. Last 30 days, 202 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage, 345. Lefties and righties getting the best of them. But it's still not a great lineup here presenting for the New York Yankees. Now, the Yankees over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching, some of those guys still standing out, rightfully so. You know it's going to be Soto. You know it's going to be Aaron Judge on that list. Wells and Grisham also, but in between, Verdugo, Rice, LeMahieu, really struggling at that point. So when I say take a leap of faith, both of these pitchers should be hit. You also take a look at a ballpark in Toronto that moving the fences in, you know, it's not as if we're playing out in San Francisco or San Diego at this point. So that 8.5, theoretically, you probably shouldn't be taking it based on the numbers because I like to take perfect matches. But if you were going to take it, I'd take the over because these two pitchers should be hit around by these two lineups.
The Blue Jays were good offensively in Fenway, 15 total runs in only their two games, and did snap that seven-game skid on Tuesday night with a victory over Boston. Postseason rematch today starting in Baltimore. Last year, the O's were the number one seed in the American League postseason bracket, got the Texas Rangers in the opening round, got swept in the best of five in only three games. Can Baltimore bounce back in terms of the rematch? The odds makers certainly expect that to be the case. Minus 220, the number for the O's in their favor with Corbin Burns on the bump against the reigning World Series champs, the Rangers. Are the odds justified, DRS, to see Corbin Burns in Baltimore that heavy of a favorite against Texas?
You should be justified in that game today. Still some good weather conditions down there at Camden Yards. But also, you know, we talked about earlier some of those other pitchers stepping up in the lineup for the Baltimore Orioles to be that stopper. You got that yesterday. Now your ace comes on the mound, and he should be good today. But also, that's not the focal point for me. I really want to look at maybe a team total for the Baltimore Orioles and how it sets up. You take a look at John Gray on the mound, 63 batters he's faced over the past 30 days. His numbers aren't bad, guys. A 148 ISO. So couple that with a 334 weighted on base percentage. Say, Donnie, how could you go against that? Here's the problem. He's a right-handed pitcher. He's been very good against right-handed batters. But where you get to him is from that left-hander position. If we're looking at nine guys in the lineup today for the Baltimore Orioles, now, again, we don't have an official lineup this earlier in the day.
Right.
We're looking at least five batters from the left-hand side. And when you take a look at some of those left-handed batters, Gunnar Henderson, a 366 ISO over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching. You take a look at Rutschman, a 347 weighted on base percentage. Ryan O'Hearn, 335 weighted on base percentage. Santander, 430 weighted on base percentage. Couple that with a 367 ISO there. Also, Kjerstad will be in that lineup, and Mullins. A lot of left-handed batters. I'm not even going to handicap the Rangers side of it. This should be an easy win for the Baltimore Orioles. And if you are looking at totals, don't take the total for the game because Burns is on the mound. They should be able to hit Gray on the opposite side. The Orioles should be back in place.
Silent J back up for Baltimore. Yeah. Heston Kjerstad out of Arkansas. He was a guy that was called up, went back down. So much talent in that farm system for the O's. The Rangers were swept in Milwaukee during this.
People not happy with the Orioles back there.
A bullhorn somewhere in studio. The Rangers swept in Milwaukee this week. The O's avoided the sweep yesterday, snapping a five-game skid with a victory over the Guardians. Rubber match today out in the desert in Arizona. The D-backs took game one against the Twins 5-4. Minnesota responds yesterday with an 8-3 victory. As we look at the odds tonight in Phoenix, or actually some day baseball in Arizona, early 3:41 p.m. Eastern time. That's before 4 p.m. Pacific out there. The Diamondbacks are a slight home favorite at minus 112 now with Jordan Montgomery on the bump. Your thoughts on that game on the other side?
Yeah.
Plenty more to get to. We've got six more games to break down across this nine-game Thursday MLB card. We will do all of that here on this Thursday on the early line. Into the mind of Donnie Wrightside. In person, live right here in studio on Sports Grid. On the tap of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
9-game Major League Baseball slate on this Thursday. A few during the afternoon hours. That includes in Arizona. Game 3, the rubber match of a midweek set between the Twins and the Diamondbacks. Arizona victorious in Game 1. Minnesota responds in Game 2. It's a virtual pick'em for Game 3 to decide the series. So who wins it?
By the way, let's get this straight here, too. Montgomery's on the mound. Do you know who's on the opposite side here? Do you see the name?
I see Festa.
Look, from The Godfather. Enjoy the Festa, because that's what it's going to be out there in the desert today. Let me get this straight. And it's not from that side of the pitching staff. It's the other side. It's Montgomery on the mound. He's hittable here as a left-handed pitcher. If you take a look at his last 30 days, a 250 ISO and a 414 weighted on base percentage against him through 93 batters. Why is that important today, Ben? In the lineup today, if we include switch hitters, we are going to get 9 right-handed bats for the Minnesota Twins. And you're taking a look at some of those guys outside of Jose Miranda and outside of Kyle Farmer. Every single one of these guys, whether it be weighted on base percentages or ISO power numbers over the past 30 days, are elevated against left-handed pitching. So forget about the Festa on the other side. Don't take the game itself. I wrote right in my notes coming up here this morning, Twins team total. So those RBIs should be popping. And when I say RBIs, too, it's not as if these guys are just above it. Margot, 240 ISO. Correa, 345. Lewis, 235. Santana, 318. Jeffers, 318. Buxton, 304. Take your pick. They should be able to win this game now, as I said that. Well, Donnie, why don't you just take them on the money line here? I don't know about this Festa guy over here, so you know what I mean? So leave him out of the equation. We should get runs from a Twin side today.
That the rubber match in Phoenix. The Phillies won the rubber match yesterday of their midweek series in Detroit against the Tigers, 6-2, the victory. Another good day for the Phillies. Nick Castellanos, an RBI.
Yeah.
A couple of RBIs as well from Marsh. As we keep it going here, we'll get to the Phillies, a very hefty home favorite today with Zach Wheeler on the bump in a moment, but the Tigers on the road in Los Angeles, specifically Anaheim, as a road favorite against the Angels. What do you like here in this matchup between Detroit and LA?
Yeah, getting a couple tough spots here to try to handicap and be effective with both sides, because you take a look at that Detroit lineup, who I'm never in love with them. Sometimes they're good, most of the time they're bad. It's like Veerling, Riley Green, and maybe Wenciel Perez, and then you have a day. But having said that, Davis Daniel on the mound. No statistics here in Major League Baseball. So again, as we were going to enjoy the Festa out in the desert, I don't really know how we're going to handicap Daniel. So if we say to ourselves, let's just leave that one side out of the equation and maybe line up the other. Because if we're looking at a pitching mismatch here, let me just bring up the pitcher, Jack Flaherty. Yeah. He's been really good this season. And in particular, guys, over the past 30 days, 81 batters face an 078 ISO and a weighted on base percentage. Minuscule at a 184. And you're not looking at a great lineup here for the Los Angeles Angels by any stretch here. So for me, if I can get a decent pitching performance by the guy on the mound for Los Angeles, it's probably going to be an under today.
So as we go to the National League Rookie of the Year odds, or at least use that in our conversation, we have focused so much on Skeens Day, starts this year for the Pittsburgh Pirates, that we've almost forgotten about Shota Imanaga. Last week against the Mets, not a good outing. 10 earned runs given up against the Amazons. But he entered that start with a 7-1 record and a 1.89 ERA. Shota struggled last time. The Cubs have been struggling as of late. And even 500 on June 5th, 31-31. They were 5 games above 500 in late May, 27-22 on May 21st. Since that June 5th number, the Cubs have dropped 13 of their last 19. They've lost 4 straight. They're in danger of being swept today in San Francisco. It's a pick 'em for Imanaga and the Cubbies against the Giants. Can Shota stop the bleeding for Chicago?
Yeah, here's the tough scene. Now, we're going to get some day baseball on the West Coast, and I tell you multiple times that Marine Layer won't be there because it's in the afternoon. The ball should travel a little bit better. 66 degrees, which is typical out there, an 11-mile-an-hour wind blowing out the center field. And keep in mind, oh, that's exciting. It's always blowing out double digits to center field, just the way that ballpark is built there out on the bay. But having said that, let's take a look at the tale of two seasons, even though it's only the first half of the season this year. It feels like it. 323 total batters Imanaga has faced this year. He was absolutely incredible, maybe the best overall pitcher in Major League Baseball. Yeah. His numbers, an ISO power number of 133 and a 285 weighted on base percentage. That's for the season. That even includes, Ben, the past couple weeks. Now, The focal point is we really don't care what he was doing at the end of March, early April, and through May. I want to know what he's been doing lately, and it's been some bad pitching. 114 batters that he's faced. Look at this. An ISO of 275. And I just told you on this season, if we include those bad weeks, is a 133. Weighted on base percentage over 400. And also, it's not as if it's like, well, man, the right-handed batter's just getting the best of him. Lefties and righties are pounding this guy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to take a look at those statistical splits because when I use the whole season, it does include how bad he's been, which tells you how electric he was probably through his first dozen or so starts on the season. So that's the way I would look where San Francisco at home. Jordan Hicks on the mound, he's been struggling against right-handed batters over the past 30 days. But yeah. What do we keep talking about in this lineup here? It's all going wrong at the wrong time. Like, you're not getting hitting, you're not getting pitching, you're not getting bullpen help for Chicago, so it makes it tough. However, those batters do line up decent today going up against Jordan Hicks, but it's a tough one to figure out because if I'm just saying I'm getting Imanaga from the beginning of the year, yeah, I'm taking it. But how bad the Cubs have been, it's probably just a day that you're going to take the Giants.
At one point, Shota Imanaga was an odds-on favorite to win NL Rookie of the Year. Yeah. When that was happening in the first 2 months, we were debating what's stopping him from winning not just Rookie of the Year,
yep,
but the National League Cy Young Award. Now he has the third best price to win NL Rookie of the Year, and Paul Skeens is greater than a $2 favorite at -220. Doubleheader yesterday for the Atlanta Braves in St. Louis. They split Reynaldo Lopez, yep, who might be an NL Cy Young consideration. Great again in the opener. The Cardinals win the second. But the Braves have still won 10 of their last 14 games. They take the small trip to Chicago. Their ace this year?
Yeah.
Chris Sale,
mm-hmm,
and reflected in the number. Not only the White Sox is the worst team in baseball, swept by the Dodgers, Chris Sale on the bump. Atlanta's a -320 favorite in Chicago today. So how do you bet it?
It's crazy that you'd see that number for a road start. I don't care who's on the mound or what team they're playing against, but one of the better pitchers in baseball versus one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, and the numbers do bear that as well. Forget about, we'll talk about Sale in a second. Chad Kuhl's supposed to be on the mound today, right-handed pitcher. Limited opportunities over the past 30 days. He's got 37 batters he's faced. 258 ISO, 369 weighted on base percentage against. If you're looking for RBI opportunities, and again, he's really been lit up from the left side. Jarrett Kelenic, man, really turning it back on. Young player in the game who has gotten a couple chances here, but you sort of saw the Atlanta Braves take a flyer back on him and say, okay, we'll see what he can do. Due to injuries, he's thrust in that leadoff position. He's been really good.
Yeah.
ISO power number 294 over the last 30 days and a weighted on base percentage of 383. Give me the RBI props today for Jarrett Kelenic, but also on the opposite side, you're talking about a bad matchup here for that White Sox lineup that certainly has been dormant on too many occasions. Sale's been tremendous. They'll win that game, but if I'm just looking to bet it, just give me a Kelenic RBI.
More baseball breakdowns and best bets up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More Major League Baseball breakdowns on this Thursday. 9-game slate around MLB. We showed you a -320 price in favor of the Braves on the road in Chicago against the White Sox. The Sox, the worst team in Major League Baseball, the third worst record. That's the Miami Marlins, who make the trip over to Philadelphia for a divisional duel. Zach Wheeler on the bump.
Mm.
The Phils are always going to be a big favorite. A $3 bill favorite? That I'm not so sure. -300, the number in favor of the Phils today against the Fish. I asked you, how do you bet the Braves at a -320 price? What's the approach in Philly?
Yeah, the Phillies should be able to win this game, and rightfully so. They're much better than the Miami Marlins. But let me give you a take about today, right? D-Roy DRS up at 3 a.m. today, getting ready, getting prepped. Hour and a half, maybe hour 40 in the car up here for the show. Going to drive back, get a little lunch. Going to be back on the radio here. Look, we never miss any time. And then your boy is going to be on his way to the ballpark tonight, daddy-daughter night here for the Phillies and the Marlins. So, yep, I have my Zach Wheeler shirt on tonight, ready to go. Now, having said that,
visor?
No. You know what? Nah. The sun will be out because we got outfield seats, so maybe it'll be a little bit warm at the start.
Anyway, but break it down. Yeah.
Yeah, but here we go. Trevor Rogers on the mound. Here's the problem again. Some of those left-handed pitchers do give the Phillies some issues, but you would think that that would be reflective, Ben, in the overall lineup.
Yeah.
But you got numbers for Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Bohm, Castellanos, and Whit Merrifield have been sensational against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. So the Phillies should get enough. So from your point of laying minus 310, I don't think that's going to be the case. Here's what I do know. Zach Wheeler's probably not going to give up more than two runs to that Marlins lineup. So maybe if you take away the team total to the under for the Marlins, yeah, it makes some sense. But I just look at the game itself. This screams 4-1, 5-1 max that the Phillies are going to pick up a victory tonight, because that lineup for the Marlins isn't good. Yeah. Zach Wheeler is really good. So that's the way I'm going with this game. Give me an under.
Four ribbies yesterday for Brandon Marsh in Detroit as the
great
Phillies won that midweek set. Bryce Harper's got 11 RBIs in the last seven games for Philadelphia. The bats are certainly heating up. Game total is 8. So yesterday, doubleheader in St. Louis under the arch, split. Atlanta wins the opener. St. Louis gets the second game. The Cards have won 10 of their last 14. They remain in St. Louis, and Miles Michaelis gets the start today in an NL Central duel against the Cincinnati Reds. St. Louis, a slight favorite. What do you like?
Yeah, probably looking again at that 8 number and saying has a tendency to go under. Now let's take a look at some of the numbers. Miles Michaelis on the mound on the season. He had a pretty bumpy start here, no question about it. But if you're taking a look over the past 30 days, 116 batters that he has faced. How about this? 135 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 242. Only three batters in that lineup projecting right now against right-handed pitching over the past month for the Reds have positive numbers. India, De La Cruz, and Candelario. If we flip it over to the other side, here's the issue. Abbott's on the mound. Take a look at these numbers, Ben. 121 batters he's faced as a lefty over the past month. Total combined, 227 ISO power number. Weighted on base percentage, 343. Typically, that means it's a heavy slant to right-handed bats as opposed to lefties, because lefties typically do well against left-handed batters. Not the case. 212 ISO to lefties, 234 to righties. Here's the problem, though. It's like, why? It's clear cut, minus 130. Why do I take it? Well, why is that way? You take a look over the last 30 days for the Cardinals going up against left-handed pitching. It's been bad. Mason Wynn, Nolan Arenado, Nolan Gorman, the only guys above. So maybe the under probably is the best look. But if I had to go with the side, yeah, it's probably still going to be Michaelis at home tonight with that cheap price.
When you look at the National League Central right now, the Reds, six games below 500, got off to a good start in June. Has not been the case in the last 2 weeks. The Cardinals, three games above 500. The only other team with a winning record outside of the Brew Crew, but still six games separates Milwaukee in first and St. Louis in second. The Redbirds will be in contention, though, for a wild card spot throughout the remainder of this summer. Before we say farewell on this Thursday, it is time for a best bet. So before we say goodbye, here's an in-person edition.
Wow.
Bye-bye-bye. All right, a ton of baseball breakdowns from you. You will be in the stadium at the bank tonight on a Thursday in Philadelphia. Is that where you go for your best bet?
No. Because, look, just because we're going to the game, I understand you want to put wagers on it. But we're about that money here. We're about that business.
Yeah.
And also, shout out Joe Friezo. We had a great stinger again there. So
fantastic,
congratulations,
Joe. Well,
on that as it worked out there.
Yeah.
But let's get the win and some money tonight. I already picked out Jared Kelenic, RBI prop tonight at a plus 155 price. Chad Kuhl really struggles against lefties. Kelenic is a lefty. He's been on fire. I wouldn't be surprised if that RBI comes, by the way, the home run, but we're not going to get greedy today. We'll just go with RBI to Jared Kelenic, plus 155 price.
Three ribbies yesterday in Atlanta's opening victory in the doubleheader against St. Louis. He has had six RBIs in the last four games for the Braves in that leadoff spot.
Yeah.
Kelenic has been fantastic. Let's have some fun. Quadruple header today in the WNBA to go along with second round coverage of the NBA draft. Asia Wilson puts on a show tonight in Chicago. 30-plus for Asia or over her points prop of 27.5. Angel Reese on the other side looks for a ninth consecutive double-double to add on to WNBA history. I think Asia Wilson says, welcome to the league, Rook.
Uh-huh.
Asia Wilson has a big night tonight in Chicago. Our second-round NBA draft coverage continues later this afternoon on Sports Grid. The Early Line back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time. You're on the grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.